So let's start out tonight. Get your Bibles out and go look at in the Gospel of John chapter 17. I don't know if y'all can handle it. Y'all might not be able to handle it tonight. I might need to save it for another day, but I'll practice it on you tonight. I love it when God shows me the simple things in life. Okay, how many of you tonight, you'd be honest and say that at some time in your life, you have felt inadequate? Is that anybody in here tonight? Okay. How many of you have ever got ready and got dressed to go somewhere and then looked in the mirror at yourself and then you didn't like what you had on, so you went and changed clothes? Didn't that ever happen to anybody? You know, I have this, I'm as bad as anybody. I have this thing about clothes, but the thing that's funny about me is I want to be comfortable, right? But then I want to look halfway decent. And so sometimes there's certain colors of shirt, certain things of shirt I never feel good in. I mean, when I put it on, I look at myself and I'm like, I don't like that color, you know? And I can't go out of the house with it. I mean, it's just like, there's no way I'm going to go into public. And it's exactly the same shirt, fits me exactly the same as the other one, but just something about it, right? But you're looking at yourself, right? And then you talk yourself out of it. You know, and nobody else will probably notice anything, right? Okay, well, this message tonight, the title of it, I actually have a great title. I think I want to do a mini book on this. The title of this message tonight is Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. Okay, mirror, mirror on the wall. And we're going to start in John chapter 17, verse 22. Now, I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, the same burning that you got in my heart right now for what I'm about to share with everybody just leaps into their heart. I pray nobody's going to go out here tonight and just say, well, that was all right. It's going to be something that's going to be life-changing. Lord, it'll pierce through every deception that we've ever walked in, every feelings of inferiority we've ever walked through, that, Lord, it'll pierce through everything tonight and put confidence in the hearts of these people here tonight and everyone that listens to this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. There's an amazing scripture. Probably one of the most staggering scriptures is in John chapter 17, starts in verse 22. Jesus is praying, okay? And he says, the glory which you gave me, he's praying to the Father, he's talking to his heavenly Father. He says, the glory you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me, and have, excuse me, I messed it up. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Y'all see that? Jesus is praying. He says, Lord, he prays this, you have, as you have sent me, the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I don't think there's any of us sitting in here tonight that would doubt that God Almighty loved Jesus. And that the love he had for Jesus was amazing. But on the same hand, when you read what that scripture's saying, he's saying that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And what happens to us is we say, oh, well, Jesus was perfect and I wasn't perfect. And so therefore we take ourselves out of the equation and say, well, he couldn't love me like that. I mean, because I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. Are y'all with me? I don't know if y'all have done that before, but, right? You say, he loved Jesus, but Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. And I'm not. So how could he love me? But that's not what it says. It says out of Jesus' own lips that God loves you as much as he does him. Are y'all with me? Okay, now I want you to go to another scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about Moses, and he says about Moses, you know, Moses had this experience with God up on the mountain, right? Saw God face to face, and it changed him. But it also changed his physical appearance because he'd seen God. So it says in verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away." A lot of times people get to thinking that Moses put a veil over his face because the glory was so great he didn't want to see it, but it really wasn't. It was fading. Moses had been up on the mountain with God, and his face was shining, and the glory of God was on him. And so when it started to fade, he didn't want the people to see it fading. So he put a veil over his face to not let them see any of it. Whew. Okay. God didn't tell Moses to put a veil over his face. He came up with that idea himself. So he put a veil over his face because he didn't want everybody to see the glory fading. Or looking at it this way, Moses was restricted being able to see because he had to look through a veil. Moses standing here looking out, he had to look through a veil. He didn't see everything clearly. Right? I mean, if you've ever had a veil or a bee hood on or anything like that, it obstructs your vision. You can't see well. I want to read on. "But their minds were blinded, for until the day the veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Jesus Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." He's saying when we look, he says we're looking into the Word of God. And as we're looking into the Word of God, what we're seeing is the face of God. Like we're looking in a mirror. Okay? Next scripture. This is really a Dwayne Hillis message. It's a shorty tonight. I could wrap this whole thing up here in just a second because the big point's getting ready to come. James chapter 1. I'm going to start reading verse 21. James 1, 21. "Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." What's able to save your soul? That doesn't mean just the word you heard. It means the word that's stuck in your heart. Right? It means the word that came into you that got planted. It got implanted, stuck in you. It's the word that's alive. Listen, there's a lot of people say, "Well, I know, you know, I know it says this or that," but wait a minute. It's the word that's alive to you, the word that's real to you. Think about Jesus, the very Word of God, the living Word of God. When he was out on the boat and they were crossing the sea and a storm came up and the waves were going crazy and everything's there, he was asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. The disciples woke him up and said, "We're in fear of our life. We're going to die out here." I mean, they were overcome with fear. They were overcome to where they knew they were going to die. Now, these guys are professional fishermen. They're going out onto the boat is no big deal to them, right? For instance, like if I was up in an airplane, like there's some of you guys are pilots and fly a lot, but If I was up in like a single engine aircraft and the pilot told me, it looks like we're going to crash and die, I'd say, oh God, I guess we are, because I don't know anything about this thing. Right? These guys are fishermen, though. They know how to fix a situation. They've been in storms before, but this one was so bad. They said, we're going to die, but Jesus is asleep. Because the word of God was implanted in him, and he knew that he had a promise from his Father, and that promise from his Father said, no harm's going to come upon you. So even though everybody else is freaking out, Jesus is just calm. When he wakes up, he says, when they wake him up, he says, man, what in the world? I'm paraphrasing. But he said, what in the world's the matter with you guys? What are you all so scared about? Stood up on the front of the boat and said, peace, be still. Ocean's calmed, or the sea calmed. Don't you know they felt kind of foolish? I mean, they were in awe and amazement, like, wow, what happened? But the most terrible situation that those guys thought they were in was nothing to Jesus, because he was the living word of God. It was implanted within him. All right? Okay. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. When he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and he continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks that he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is to visit widows and orphans in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Okay. Now here we go. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word, but he doesn't do it, can I change that a little bit and say, he doesn't get the word implanted in him? He heard it, but he didn't get it implanted in him? He's like a man who holds up a mirror and looks into it and sees himself, but then as he turns and walks off, he forgets what he looks like. For those of you listening, I have a mirror in my hand. And so, let's just think about this for a minute. All right? What we do most of the time in our lives, as we walk in our life, is we hold the mirror up in front of us, and we're looking at us. Well, that's weird. Looking in the mirror at my face while I'm looking out there at y'all. But that's how we live our lives. We live our lives and we're with this group of people, but the whole time we're kind of looking over this mirror at us and we're judging ourselves and we're looking at ourselves and we're saying, oh man, you know, you should shave some, you need a haircut, or you know, there's that, you know, you don't look too good, or this shirt doesn't look good, or you look like you've gained some weight, or da, 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 you know, who are you? Well, what are they thinking about? What's she thinking about? And then you look back over the mirror and say, oh my gosh, I guess she's seeing this or whatever. We live our lives looking into the mirror. And when we look into the mirror, we're never going to hear the word of God that's going to come into our lives and be implanted into our hearts, because we're not hearing the word of God and getting it sown into us that that's what we're seeing in the mirror. Because what we always do as humans, we look with our natural eyes. The disciples looked out over the lake, saw the waves, said, we're going to die. And what we do in our life is we're walking along and we're going to say, yeah, God's going to bless me. And then we look and say, why would God bless me? I mean, look at me. I'm imperfect. You know what you did the other night. And we're having a conversation with ourselves in the mirror. Now, watch this. Mirror's got two sides. What happens now if I turn the mirror around this way? And what happens if I take the word of God and I say in a prayer out of my mouth and I speak God's word out of my mouth and I'm speaking to him? Come here, Frankie, you get to be God. Don't let it go to your head. So now I'm in prayer, but I'm not looking at myself. On the back side of my mirror is what I've written, the word of God that's been implanted in my heart. Now all of a sudden I'm pointing it at God. And I'm saying out of my mouth, thank you, Lord, that you said that you would always bless me, that you said you'd send the commanded blessing upon me. What's he hearing coming out of my mouth? His word. What's he seeing looking at me? Himself. All of a sudden now I'm speaking God's word and I'm confessing the promises, but I'm not judging myself. I'm not looking at me. I'm looking at the word. And so what God's looking at is the mirror. He's seeing himself. He's seeing what he promised. He's being reminded of himself, what he promised to me.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So all he's, I mean, you know, I'm you know, come on, I'm painting with a, you know, pretty good brush tonight, but just think about this. God, he's not fooled by me, but he's looking at me, seeing himself and me covered in the blood.
Amen.
So all he's seeing is Jesus or his son saying, I'm believing in you. And he's looking at himself, reminding of his promises. We got to turn the mirror around, church. We got to quit looking at yourself and looking at your problems and your faults and your infirmities and your weaknesses and the things in your life, and quit looking at yourself saying, oh, I'm so imperfect, and start with saying, no, wait a minute, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I'm covered in the blood, and turn the mirror around. And he says, if you look in that mirror, you're going to forget what you're like. You're going to walk away and you're going to forget it. You're not going to do anything. But if you turn the mirror around, man, now all of a sudden you just have the word of God going to God saying, Lord, this is me. He's not seeing your imperfections. He's not seeing you. He's just seeing the blood covered, speaking his word. So he says, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, calm the sea. That's all he's doing. You got to turn the mirror around. If you can simply turn the mirror around and speak God's word and quit looking at yourself, all life will change. All victory is yours. Now all of a sudden you can go back to the first scripture and you can say, wait a minute, Lord, you love me. Your love's towards me. Because God, he's just looking at you and all he's seeing is his love towards a blood-covered child of his who's speaking his word and his promises and believing in him. That's all he's seeing. He's just seeing a vessel standing there saying, God, I just thank you that your promise was to me, that I'm in a covenant with you, and that you said, you know, you want me to be prosperous. You want me to be healthy. You want me to be a blessing. You want me to walk in love. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're just working in me all good things. Jesus, when the crowd came to get him one time and throw him off the hill, the Bible says he just walked right through the midst of them. So when the crowd's coming at you and you're looking at yourself saying, oh, I do deserve to be thrown over the cliff, and you're just looking in the mirror at yourself, you're just going to let them throw you over. But when you take the word around, do it like this, then everybody's looking in the mirror. You're just seeing the backside where you wrote your scriptures. You know, it might be a good practice for you. Maybe you need to get a handheld mirror like this and write you some scriptures on the back of them, what God's promises are to you, and just start doing it like that. You know, fix your eyes this way and then turn around and do it like this. Fix your hair, turn it around, quote some scripture. Get used to this idea, because you got to quit looking at yourself. You got to quit looking at your own faults and start looking at what the Word of God says about you. Word of God says you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. Word of God says greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. I was thinking about this today, and this is kind of a side note. I was thinking about the tomb and about the resurrection power and about how they went in. You know, in John's gospel, he says he outran Peter and got there first and looked in, but then he backed up and Peter came and he ran in. And when they saw the tomb, you know, it changed their life. And I was just thinking on about this, and I was thinking, isn't it amazing this went in an empty tomb and it changed your life? Well, A lot of people look at that and they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection power because they're like, well, somebody just stole the body. But you see, what was laying there in that tomb was that basically just like a shell, like we see of the locusts when they come out of their shell and their shell still left there, that shell was sitting there of all the wrapped body of Jesus, and there was no hole in that shell except right in the face where they'd covered it with a napkin. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, says came down and knocked Jesus right out of those grave clothes. So he came out of that hole in the head. Well, we know that that's physically impossible. Correct? You ain't going to get a full human through just the size of your face. Shoulders won't fit. Right? And when they saw that, that confirmed to them that something had happened. Jesus was resurrected. Because there's no way that 100 pounds of anointing oil, this thick Crisco-y stuff, had been all over Jesus and formed that cocoon and all that, and it was hard and solid, and there's no way they knew something had happened. There's no way the body could have got out of there. So I was thinking about that. I said, isn't that interesting? If the Spirit of God got Jesus out of that cocoon, then why is it so hard for us to believe the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us? If you can get Jesus out of that cocoon, ain't no big deal when you says that you're the temple of the living God, you don't understand it, but I don't understand how you got him out of the hole. You know, I got a lot of room on the inside of me. And the problem is we don't believe things to their fullness and don't walk in it by faith because we're always looking at ourselves. We don't walk in that because we're just looking at who, all the mistakes we've made. And it's really fun to look at it this way. I remember years ago I was in Mexico, and I had been down there for a while. I'd been down there for, you know, a week or 10 days. And I was staying in this home with the pastors there. And I got to noticing how they didn't have any mirrors in their house, probably because they couldn't afford them. And in the bathroom, there was one of these little bitty shaving mirrors, you know, that you could just kind of look at, you know, when you try to shave like this, you know, can't see anything. And so for like, you know, literally 7 to 10 days, I don't remember how long the trip was, I never looked at myself. I got up every morning, put my clothes on, tried to comb my hair the best I could from that little piece of mirror. But I did not ever have anything to look at. And I remember how freeing it felt. That it's like, well, I don't know if I look bad or not. It doesn't really matter. I can't see myself. So what difference does it make? I can't look any worse than everybody else looks. So, I mean, hey, glory to God. And so for like all this time, I felt free. It's just like, I'm not looking at myself. Have you ever dressed and felt good and then you went by a mirror and you looked and said, ooh, that didn't look too good. You were doing good, and then all of a sudden, legs cut out from under you. But if you never see that, and you just live your life for Jesus, and you live your life believing in His Word, and live your life not looking in the mirror, and keeping the mirror facing towards God, and just speaking His Word at Him, letting God see God, and don't sit down and start judging yourself, and just turn around and say, wait a minute. Isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing? Isn't that what I'm not supposed to be living my life? It just turns you free. It just gives you liberty. Absolutely gives you liberty. So what we have to do is if we really want to walk in it, we got to practice it. And no word is going to stay within your life and your heart unless it's implanted in you. And the only way it's going to ever get implanted in you, literally, is by you stop looking at yourself and let God sow it in you. You got to read it, speak it, and start walking in it. He says the person that is not looking in a mirror would then be a doer of the word. Right? Isn't that what he said? Because he says, the doer of the word, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. So then if you're a doer of the word, that means the word's got implanted in you. And then all of a sudden now, wait a minute. You're just walking by faith. You're walking on the water. You're living your life in victory. You're looking into the future saying, you know, my future's got to be blessed. My future has to be glorious. That's what your word says. If you wake up and you think, well, I don't know what my future holds, well, then you're looking in the mirror. I have things fall down around me all the time, and I just keep looking out there and saying, no, wait a minute, that's not what the word says. The word says I'm the head and I'm not the tail. The word says I'm above and not beneath. Just go there for a second. Just go over. Go to Deuteronomy 30, I think. Oh, I'm sorry, 28. Let's read this, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments to command you today, that the Lord will God will set you on high above all nations, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord. Listen to me. This is old covenant. This is all based upon you keeping the law. Hebrews says if the old covenant looked that way, we've got bigger and better promises based upon the blood of Jesus. And I got to admit, I'll take these. He says, "You're blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed are you going to be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be in your basket, and blessed in your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. Nobody's going to steal from you. And all the things I do, I always am praying, God, I just declare that I'm blessed when I go in this deal, and I'm blessed when I'm coming out. You're going to cover me. You're going to take care of me. I'm going to get blessed." If he would promise this in the Old Testament, and we got this blood covenant, and God's seeing his word. He's seeing us through the eyes of Jesus. He's seeing us as perfect. We fulfill the righteous requirement of this law to receive all these blessings because of the blood of Jesus, as long as we're not taking that mirror and looking at ourselves. "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way, they're going to flee seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses and all that you set your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord shall grant you plenty of goods. The fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the lands which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you." Does it not sound like God wants you to have an abundance? An abundance of blessings. Why? So you can be a blessing. "Then the Lord will open to you his good treasures of the heaven and give you the rain and the land in season. To bless the work of your hand, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not be a bar. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath." I mean, coming from a ranching background, when I read that scripture, that's a good place to be. The head's always better than underneath. Okay? It's always better. "If you heed the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, would you be careful to observe them? So you shall not turn aside to any of the words I command you to say to the right or the left, but go after the other gods to serve them." You're just walking around the mirror all the time to say, "God, I just thank you. Whoo! You said you're going to bless me. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed wherever I go." If you turn it around, you're going to look at yourself and say, "Oh man, you messed up. You know, you should have prayed longer. You should have done this. You should have done that. You didn't really walk like you should have. You know, where is that righteous requirement? You may not have made it." You're looking at yourself. Turn that mirror around. You're saying, "Lord God, I just think you're just reading off the back of the mirror. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I prosper in everything I put my hands to. Lord, you lead me and guide me. You take me all the crooked paths. You get them away and I just walk on the straight paths." Every time in your life from this day forward, you find yourself in fear, worry, or anxiety, you're looking at the mirror. Just realize it. Don't keep looking in the mirror saying, oh, you're so stupid. You just keep looking in the mirror. What's the matter with you? Why do you do this? Turn it around. You want to turn around, but I can't turn it around. Just quit all that. Look, we're all crazy and God knows it. There's no sense trying to fool anybody, hide anything. We all are crazy and God knows it. Are y'all with me? But every time you get in fear, every time you get in anxiety, you're looking in the mirror. Just catch yourself and say, stop it. You're looking in the mirror. We're looking at the Word. We're holding our Bibles up to us, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the Word, letting it get into our soul, being implanted in our heart. So that's what comes out of our mouth. Amen? Praise God. It'll change your life forever. Quit looking in the mirror. It's easy to do because we do it from birth. Right? But we're not going to do that anymore, are we? Awesome children of God. Overcomers, more than conquerors. Mighty ones in the Word. Implanted within your hearts. Growing up. Huge harvests. Glory, glory. And then you're going to walk in victory. You're going to walk in happiness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.